We just finished The Patience of God, which that young man will learn in time. And is there music playing? Wow, it's that instant. So all you have to do is put children in a locked room and the silence and the sound goes away. You go to jail, but the sound goes away. So, all right, so Father, just as we continue on who you are, really speak to us. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen. So we've been talking about the patience of God, and we've come to an end of his patience. No, I'm kidding. But we've come to an end of discussing his patience. Thank you, Taya, for catching the humor there. So when we talk about the patience of God, it actually kind of is a great segue into the next attribute, which would be God's mercy. And I think that the longer you walk with God, the more aware you are of that particular attribute. When you're really walking with Him, I think that's when you really get to know it. One friend of mine many years ago, she used to call the mercy of God the great pooper scooper. And do you know what that is, right? You go behind an animal, you wait. Nowadays, you take your little plastic glove and your bag, and you pick it up and you put it in. And she talks a lot about that. She talks a lot about that, but it, in relation to this verse in Psalm 23, that the end of the psalmist is talking about the Lord as his shepherd. And then he says, mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I like that mercy follows me. I think it's important that it follows me, not leads me. Grace leads me. It kind of shows me this expanse and the possibilities, and I sense favor. It's in front of me, and it leads me. It's encouraging to me that way. But mercy follows me, because, like, in this sacrilegious way, it is the pooper scooper. It's like I do a lot of things, some on purpose. You know, I ever walk behind a horse or near a horse, and all of a sudden, boom, on the streets of New York or wherever that is, and bam, that horse just unloads. And you wonder, does this horse, is he aware that he just kind of like, you know, because, you know, and that's us sometimes. Sometimes we just kind of unload, and it's a big mess. And, you know, sometimes we're aware of it, sometimes we're not. And that's that speaks of sin. Mercy is always going to speak of sin. And this is important, because if we are not talking sin or guilt when it comes to mercy, then we're really not talking mercy. We're talking injustice. Do you understand what I mean by that? If we're not, when we're talking guilt or sin, and talking about God's mercy, if we don't think about guilt and sin when it comes to mercy, then we're really not talking about mercy, we're talking about injustice. And I'll give you an example. Young children, older children, any children, would like you to believe that. Something is done, you know they did it, and you extend to them mercy. Okay? But they haven't exactly admitted it. So if you don't extend mercy to them, if you punish them, but they have not admitted an infraction, to them it's injustice. Okay? And that's actually sometimes when you're talking to people on the streets or you're talking to family members or what have you, that is a big deal. Because sometimes we never get past the point of people thinking that God is not, it's interesting, they will talk about that God is not just because of different things over here. But they really won't talk about that God, and then also that he's not just, if they, rather, I should say, let me rephrase that. They will talk about that God is not just if good people go to hell. So part of the understanding of, so then why would they need mercy? In their minds, bad people need mercy. So part of the problem is, I don't know that I'm bad. And therefore, God is unjust to me, and he had better be merciful to them. Do you understand? So this attribute is very interesting. That's why I say the longer you walk with God, the more you understand. Because the more I know myself, the more this word of God is taught to me, the more I learn this word of God, the more I realize how far away I am. Right? I realize how far. And I like, you know, you think of even high school students. They get to a place and there's kind of like, especially maybe they're part of a small town or small school, and they're like, I know a lot. I know a lot. You know? They're good. Then they go to a big college. You know, and Pastor Elmer was telling me the story of his son, Zach, that, you know, Pastor Elmer's bragging on his son. And he says, you know, my son, I told him he's brilliant. I mean, he's highly intelligent, brilliant. And Zach, his son, is like, no, I'm not that. I sit in a class with a 15-year-old taking the same class I'm taking. Now, that's brilliance. But you see, that is an awakening. And mercy, for me to understand God's mercy, I must have an awakening. Because Zach realized that there's no way he's brilliant. Because what? Comparatively speaking, this 15-year-old is a lot younger than he is and is taking courses that are just as advanced. Well, I can say, I mean, God gives me mercy. Thank you. Praise God. Sunday morning we sing the songs. Thanks for your mercy. You know, whatever. But maybe I get to know the Word of God. And then years go by, I get to know more and more of how much I don't take God's opinion. I don't take God's mandate here. I really don't seek him here. I walk the earth, and I've never considered that he has an opinion about, not an opinion, but a mandate about this, that he has a thought about this. All of these things, they come rushing in on me as the more I get to know him. And that is a realization that I know nothing, but more importantly, that I have lived a long time not considering that many things, in many ways, in many things, we offend God. It's like going to another country and doing all of these things, maybe in your best sincerity, thinking that we are absolutely doing well, only to find out that we have offended the entire village or the entire group. You know, do you understand? And we can be, you can say, my best sincerity. And I can say, sir, you say that you're a good man. And in your best sincerity, you're a good man. But unfortunately, you are offending God. And that's a reality. And you can say, oh, well, cut him a break. But the Bible's clear, these mandates are here. And God does cut me a break. That break hung on a cross. That's where my break is. Psalm 130, if he should mark iniquities, if he could mark my sins, if every time I sin, God put a mark. You know, I mean, one day would fill this room. You know, if he's going to take my marks, Psalm 130 says, Lord, if you should mark iniquity, who could stand? How could I stand here? But there is forgiveness with you that you might be feared. Mercy begins with my understanding. of sin and guilt. Because if I don't understand that, then I would say that God has been unjust to us. Because he has allowed things to happen. He has allowed, he has maybe treated me in such a way that in all reality is unjust, not merciful. But one of the interesting things that for me to, so to continue in that line of thought, the sun, it shines on the just and the unjust. And that's mercy. There's a lot of mercy. I walk out and the fact that I can look out my window and the sun is shining. The fact that I'm living and breathing as we are by nature sin machines. You know, just going to the bathroom today, each day is just one small indicator. Meaning like we go to the bathroom involuntarily. Guess what? I sin that way. At the end of a day, I don't know how much. In many points, in many ways, we offend. And God's mandate, we could easily offend. And some will say, well, that's kind of condemning. But that's the thing. If you don't know the nature of God, it's not condemning if I understand that God is merciful. You know, like don't tell me all the things I've done wrong. Why? Because that would make you feel like you kind of owe God. Or do you risk understanding that you're not as good as you thought you were? And it's true, I could feel like, wow, condemned. But that also is a lack of understanding. Because God, he definitely has his ways that I don't line up with, but he has provided for us. He has taken care of our sin. And I poured, which I did not know would be a half and half that would be expired like that. But that is like the spot. That is like our sin. It is spilt. It's there every day in this respect. I sin every day. Milk is spilt every day. In fact, God knew this and he had a plan in Romans 11:32. It says that God concluded all of us in unbelief, in sin, that he might have mercy for us all. Now, this is, I'll give you, this topic is actually very important to us. And the man or woman who does not understand mercy generally is a bitter person. It, really, we are. This attribute is so important to us because it is an essential part of the finished work, the idea of grace. Okay? I can't really enjoy grace if I also don't understand mercy. So, I used to teach, okay? And when I taught, I taught you, Beth, right?
You did.
Okay, I taught, so I used to teach. And when I taught, a teacher leaves the room. Okay, everyone knows as soon as that door shuts, the noise level goes from zero to about, you know, the sound meter's off the charts. As soon as you open the door, it's quiet as a church mouse. But somehow something is always wrong. Now you tell them, you better be quiet when I leave the room. You come to the door, like clockwork, and you listen. And you have to make a decision as a teacher at that moment. Because that room is full of noise. I could leave here, and this room would be full of noise. But I come back, it's possible that Katrina and Taya are very quiet. And the rest of the room is full of noise. Now I'm going to come and I'm going to say, this room was full of noise. I asked you not to. I told you if you did, you're going to have extra homework. And Katrina and Taya, they're sitting here, and they're saying, we were quiet. And maybe they raise their hand and say, Miss Brown, we were quiet. Now the problem is, I don't know, Denise raises her hand and says, I was quiet. Now, everyone knows Denise was not quiet. But there's a code among students, so they're not really going to tell on her, okay? We'll be ticked off at her later, but they're not going to tell on her. But do you see my mess? I've got to decipher, do I punish the whole class? And depending on the day and my capacity, they all might get homework. Or I have to say, you're all wrong. And I can say you're all wrong and make you all pay. Or knowing that maybe as a teacher, and most teachers know, you have a few students or a bunch, you know your students. You knew automatically this one wasn't talking, this one. You could really go down the room for the most part. And then if this one was talking, it was because someone else pushed her buttons and she wouldn't have talked either way. You could sit all day long. Can you imagine if God is in heaven and Latasha comes up to him and I say, well, that mistake, well, only because she did that to me and I would never made that sin, God, if that had happened. It would take eternity to go through each one of my sins as I give justification for each part and say why you couldn't. And that's hard. When you're teaching, when you're a principal, that's honestly, a lot of times you go through the day and that's half your battle. But God said, you know, God's smarter than all of us. He said, listen, and he's all powerful. I'm not going to do it that way. I'm just going to say you all were talking, you all broke the law, and I am going to forgive you all. Mercy and forgiveness are absolutely tied together. But here's the thing. That is a lot like spilled milk. Right now, I said that's like our sin. It's on this table, okay? But it'll just stay there unless it's cleaned up. It's not enough to say, oh, it's forgiven, we move on. I mean, I'll extend mercy, I won't punish you. But see, there's a part of it, and that's why I said our understanding has to be very important. It's important because understanding God's attribute to us also is very connected to our relationship with others. This is one of the attributes, and very important, where he has said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. But he says what? Be ye merciful. So I'm merciful. It's commanded. This is a commanded attribute. This is one of those things, we talked about the attributes of God, and we have been. And some of them, he doesn't say, be ye all present. Be ye all powerful. Right? But he does say, be ye merciful. That's fascinating. Because God knows that if I understand his mercy, and he even gives us a parable about that. He talks about a man who owed another man, and we'll give it in dollars, $10. And the other man said, he owes them $10,000, Marcellus, $10,000. Okay, so you owe me $10,000. I'm done. I've been waiting for your money. It's never come. You keep telling me you're going to pay. You haven't done anything. You're going about your business. Kind of guilty, but you're fine with it. I'm not. So I say, Niasha, bring Marcellus to me. Because, you know, so she drags you over to me. And I say, listen. And you say, oh gosh, I have two children, Shalia and Harold. I have three even, but these are the young ones. Look at them. Are you really going to make me pay? They won't eat. They'll be without their mom. I'll be in jail. How's that going to happen? And I say, okay. You're forgiven. Okay, it's fine. She made a good case. I don't want to leave those children motherless. So she goes about her business. The problem is, the real problem here is, it's that Sophie owes Marcellus $10. Marcellus is like, you know what? I'm going to get the kids some food tonight. I'm a little low on money. She goes to Sophie's. Sophie, I need the $10. Sophie says, I don't really have the $10. Give me the $10 now. Sophie says, I don't really have the $10, you know. But Marcel, I saw you eating ice cream and everything else. You could have paid my $10. Sophie's like, but, you know, she says, okay, you don't want to pay my $10? So she goes, she gets Irene, says, get her out of here until she pays my $10. Now, Ava has been listening in. So she comes up and says, you're not going to believe this. I heard the great story of how you forgave Marcellus $10,000, but you're not going to believe what she just did. I said, what's that? She said, Sophie owed her $10, and she sent her to jail over $10. What? Bring Marcellus to me. And you can imagine, Marcellus, you come, you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. What's wrong? You owed me $10 and I forgave you. Sophie owed you $10 and you didn't forgive her. You're going to jail now, kids or no kids, because you need to be merciful because I have given you mercy. Now, this picture is a picture of our lives. Because we wake up when we breathe, somebody does something, they offend me. They took my parking space. They took this. They offended this over here. They were mean to me over here. They didn't think of what I thought was important. I mean, the list is long. And that's why the scriptures say, in many ways we offend. You cannot go through a day without offending someone. And you cannot go through a day, really, without being offended. I was offended literally half an hour before I came here. I'm literally at Home Depot getting stuff for this demo day. Okay? And I was in Home Depot 4 hours today, making sure everything, going through the list over and over again, trying to make sure, what have you. I get to the checkout. It's a different place. Home Depot than I usually use, and they basically profile me. More than just ask for ID, they want to call my bank, they want to what have you. I was in small townville, whatever, and I was like, okay. And Catherine's there, and I start getting angry. I'm like, I was in the car studying for this. I'm angry. I'm like, I'm studying for a Bible study. What is your problem? But, I'm going off a little bit. And then I'm like, and she's like, well, this is for my protection. You've got four employees staring and snickering in the corner. And you have not done this to any other customer. I'm trying to figure out why. And you can't, and we have done, I'm going on and on and on. And then Catherine has arrived there and she goes off. And I get in the car and I'm just like, this is interesting. At one point, because we get offended easy. And you could say, well, Natasha, that's not cool. I mean, for her to be profiling. Yeah, it maybe wasn't, maybe it is, but it's just easy to be offended. It just is. And whether she meant it or didn't, and it was embarrassing. I mean, half the store is paying attention to you at that moment in a bad way. And it's funny, because your mind starts thinking. I go and get in my RAV4. I'm like, my car's decent. I mean, I showed other good ID. I'm like thinking of all the justifications as to why I didn't deserve to be profiled. We offend. We just do. And we are offended. So in a moment, I can sense, and we believe in spiritual warfare. I said, well, I'm on my way to a Bible study, and Satan would love to make this like the focus of my mind. He'd love to do this. So, I was just like, okay, I want to just think about this, the mercy of God, the whole nine yards. And this woman did not deserve mercy. She didn't. And that's the interesting thing. Sophie does not deserve mercy. He's looking at ice cream. I'll have you $10. Okay? It's like so easy. They don't deserve mercy. Even Marcellus, so do I give her mercy because of her kids? But she doesn't deserve it. How did that bill get up to $10,000? She doesn't deserve it. Okay, so God says, I extend to you every day mercy, which is this forgiveness. You don't deserve it, because if you deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. It would mean that I had made a mistake and you were unjustly. This woman didn't deserve it. It wasn't I was unjustly accusing her of profiling. I mean, I'm the only black person in the store, and you pick me out, and I'm no one, and like, you want me to pull my, I can't see your license very clearly, and I'm like, I've just never seen. I'm producing whatever I need to call the bank, and ma'am, you're making this longer than it has to be. Sir, ma'am, rather you call the bank, it will be a lot longer than it has to be. You know, and I want to call all the banks on all your cards. It was out of control. Okay. Now, she doesn't deserve, it's not an injustice. Okay. But the thing about it is, the mercy isn't necessarily, and this is an interesting kind of mercy, that we cover each other with. It's not a mercy necessarily of, I go back to the store and hunt her down. I give you mercy. She's not going to understand that. It's a mental attitude. It's a letting go. The infraction happened. Now, this is where it's interesting, because the infraction is either personal, which is in this case it was, okay, or it's not. Maybe it's nothing on my, no skin off my back. And that's kind of like, I can look at a situation and we say, oh, that person deserved mercy, and we say yes or no. We kind of look at the tabloids or the newspapers, and we make judgment calls all the time. Mercy, no mercy. We all have this idea of a sense of justice. Whether that justice is personal to me, the reason I didn't like what she did is because we have order in our society. And we say now, we didn't say hundreds of years ago, you can't do that to me. You shouldn't do that to me. My sense of justice was offended. And then then it was also personal. You offended me. There are two things. Either you offend my sense of justice and you offend me, or you can offend both. Do you guys understand that? Like, you offended me. But Catherine can't say you offended me. But she can say you offended her sense of justice. Does that make sense? Okay, let me explain. Our sense of justice is when you look at a situation and has nothing to do with you, but you and I in my mind will say that's wrong and that's right, or we will say, and also we will say this person should get mercy. It's no skin off my back, okay? It's really, but there's this thing inside of us that has a rightness and a wrongness to things. Now, I wasn't shot the other night, but everything in us was, hey, that's wrong. And that's wrong, and everything in us, right? Okay, the same idea was mercy. So sometimes the milk spills and it's not my milk. And sometimes the milk spills and it is my milk. Okay? Sometimes I need to give mercy because it's personal, or I need to give mercy because even though it's a sense of justice or injustice. So I, as a teacher, come into the room. The kids are talking. Honestly, that's a good example. It's not personal, really. I mean, if I know it, kids are going to be kids, okay? But if I come in and the kids are more than talking, but they have ramshacked my desk and taken things from me, now it's personal. You see? Now, I give mercy the first time. That's not a big deal. I know that this guy's going to talk all the time, all right? But now I look at that desk. And that's interesting. Now you personally offended me. And will I give mercy here? When we fell, we did both. God was our Father, our Creator. He just said, I give you every tree but one. Can you just listen to that? We had done both. It says he liked to walk with us in the cool day. He made man in his image. It was very personal to him. And he just wanted, God tested Adam and Eve by putting a serpent in the garden and said, listen, I'm going to just test you because I want it to be that you love me for me. It was very personal. So it was to almost show, like he did Job, like, hey, they love me. They're not going to listen to that serpent. And they didn't. They didn't listen to God. But they listened to the serpent. Now, If I'm God, they're dead. Honestly. But that's why I'm not God. That was personal. I can make man again. Just kill him. You didn't do. I gave you a shot. I've given you everything. Everything there is to give. There's nothing that you don't have that I couldn't give you. It's personal. But I also told you that this is a mandate. Don't do this. And you still did it. And sometimes I think parents, teachers, any lead and leaders, you don't know what to do with it. Sometimes it's personal, and then sometimes, even like a pastor of a church, sometimes it's you could have offended him, or you could do something in the church and he has to take some type of action. Now he's got to think about it. Usually we want the person, we would like the teacher to be able to step aside and say, the ramshacking of the desk, I can't think about it that it was my desk. I just have to think about it, how I'm going to deal with that. Do you understand? So God comes in, and then basically he absolutely gets rid of and says, I still am going to include them all under sin. Meaning I am going to still say everyone has sinned. Because maybe I'll go in the room and I'll say, listen, I don't care much about the talk, but I want to know what it is. Right? We want to separate it. But it's all sin. And God said, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to call the whole thing sin. And the best way I know to handle this, if I love them, is that someone has to pay. And that's like the milk. I can say, you did it, maybe you're poor, you threw it on the table, maybe it's accidental. It doesn't really matter. I don't go into how it happened, but I say, okay, forgiven for whatever, and I come in and I wipe up the table. I say goodbye to you, but I wipe up the table. As a teacher, I put my desk back together. God said, I am going to take care of it. It doesn't go away, and that's something I have to understand. The person who believes he's good and who believes that he doesn't do a lot of things wrong, he doesn't know the consequences of even one sin. You and I don't know what that means. Maybe the desk that I ransacked broke something that was very valuable to me that will have ramifications down the road. Maybe she coming down on her devastates her. She's carried away. And let's say some extreme thing. She commits suicide over $10. Now, that's really extreme. But what I'm saying is, you and I, we don't know the consequences of our obedience to God. Like, God can take a simple obedience that I do, and he makes it amazing. It's like a seed, and this incredible tree grows up. But we also don't know the power of my sin. It's like a bomb that explodes. I've seen it before. Someone's gossiping or slander, and they don't understand. And we try to teach that to teenagers because the hurt words, like, we have no idea. And I'm going to the checkout line, and I glance quickly, and as you know, because they put that stuff right there, and I guess it's a real case of a teenage girl who just through text messages convinces this young man to kill himself. The power of our words are incredible. She's just, literally, it's just title, just do it quickly. It'll be over fast. I mean, it's horrifying, right? It's demonic. But the reality is, I don't know the power of a bomb I set off. God knew the power. People blame God for the world's condition. The world is still reeling from bomb after bomb after bomb. This situation over here is a result of this situation over here. You and I are seeing it through eyes that are not perfect. But God said, listen, all of that, I am going to extend mercy because I am going to put the weight of the judgment and justice on the shoulders of my sin, of my son. The full weight. Mercy was not extended to Christ because judgment had to be satisfied so that he could be merciful to me. And that is the real reason I can go to bed at night and sleep the sleep of the beloved. And that is the real reason I can wake up, and there's some days I can feel kind of funny, kind of guilty, but I'm actually able to say, no matter what, God, you love me. All of this was taken care of. This is just a feeling. This is not reality. My Bible's reality. A real historical act of your son dying on a cross is reality. My mercy extended to me is because of that. And I like this portion. It says early on, like in Matthew 9, he says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Okay? Even when we've done something wrong, meaning I don't want you to try to try to make up for this. He goes, I don't want you to do that. I have mercy. I'll clean it up. Okay? Then a few chapters later, he says it again. But this is interesting. He says, I will have mercy and not sacrifice because I've not called, how does he say it? I'll read it because it's an important thing. And so he says, and this Matthew 12:9, if you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. So Matthew 9:13 says, I will go and learn what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Meaning, I'm not out here trying to call the good. The guy that says he's good, he's not understanding. He's not ready for mercy yet because he thinks he's good. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. So he's really thinking all of his good acts are going to make up for it. What are you going to make up for? How can I make up for it? I set off a bomb. Somebody sets off a bomb. How are you going to make up for that? You're going to find where all the debris hit and what happened, and you're going to be able to deal with that? You and I throw bombs every day. That's ridiculous. We'll never be able to make up for it. He says, so I came to call the sinners, the ones who realize that they set off bombs with their words, with their actions every day. Then they'll understand me. But then he says in chapter 12, verse 7, if you had known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the guiltless. Now this is said about, he's saying that the disciples are doing something on the Sabbath day that they're not shouldn't be doing. This is, I want to make sure we have understanding here. What God is saying here is saying, listen, there are things that you and I are going to do and we know we're doing or what have you. And God's saying, listen, I want to have mercy. But more than that, he says, I'm a God of compassion. I have an attitude of mercy, which is what I want you to have toward each other. Now, an attitude of mercy says that in this case, the Pharisees were wrong. They actually thought the disciples were guilty, and they weren't. But if the disciples had had an attitude of mercy, then they would not have tried to condemn the disciples. Because when I have an attitude of mercy, it could be that I find out later that I was wrong. But it's okay. Because I didn't throw away the baby with the bathwater in my mind. Do you understand? Like, maybe I find out, I thought I was upset. I said, Taya, you spilled the milk. I can't believe you. Do you know what Taya is? She's out of control, whatever, what have you. And I find out later that she didn't. But if I have an attitude of mercy toward her, I could say, I maybe think, you know what, Taya spilled the milk, but I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to forgive her for spilling the milk. And maybe I'm thinking, Taya, you spilled the milk. Maybe I don't go to her alone. I just say, you spilled the milk. I forgive you. I'm going to clean it up. Later on, I find Connie spilled the milk. But thank God, because I didn't have a wrong attitude. Because had I wrong attitude, I'd be condemning Taya. So Christ is not saying, I want you to get it right. He's saying, I want your attitude to be right. Because you're going to make mistakes. I'm not, as a teacher, I could walk in, and let's say I'm going to say, the four of you, I caught you in the act of talking. Every teacher has done that. They open the door. Four are just not smart enough to know to stop talking when the door opens. So they're chatting it up. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. And I have a moment here. So they're caught in the act. That's easy enough. And I say, okay, you're caught in the act. That's the known stuff, all right? We're caught in the act often. But there could be, I walk in and I hear noise, and this, all these are true stories, and I go over here and I see you guys were talking. But actually the room played tricks on me, and it was the people over here. And I'm dogmatic, and I come down. But if my attitude is merciful, if my attitude is merciful over here, when I find out later, then I have understanding. And it's okay, because I already had an attitude. And parents, you know, are like this, you know, at least when I grew up, but you'd be punished. And I say, Mom, you're wrong. Well, she's like, this is for all the times when I wasn't wrong. Well, God does it the reverse. Okay? He says, you're a mess. And then all the other times when other people are going to call you a mess, and you're not even a mess. But I'm just going to have an attitude of compassion towards you in general. So he doesn't just conclude me under sin and have mercy. He also says, I'm going to have compassion even on the things that you don't know that others think you did, or even on the things that you think you may have done and didn't do. And you say, well, how is that possible? Well, it's my favorite illustration of all time. Our conscience, it condemns us. You ever go into a store and maybe everyone's staring at you? Like, actually, the funny part is I felt like this today at one point. And then it was proven a little bit true. But I'm like, these people are watching me. But like, but have you ever done that and gone to a store and you feel like a thief? Anybody ever done that? Well, I have, especially when I was younger. And I would go through those little bars on the way out, and I was kind of like hoping that the machine doesn't go off, because I felt like a thief. Well, I've definitely felt like that. Well, our conscience, believe it or not, even if you haven't felt that specific thing, it's a lot like that. It's like going through a store, like I went through the store today and getting to the register, and I have my 6 items. And some of you have heard this illustration before, but the bill comes up, and the bill says, okay, that'll be $15,444.23. And I look at my stuff, and I look at that bill. The register reads, and I see that she's going, I said, I'm sorry. These are the items I want. Maybe you. And she said, oh, no, I know. Those are the items you brought up, but I saw you looking at a whole lot of other ones. So what? Yeah, if you looked at them, you have to pay for them too. And that's our conscience. Very often it condemns us. And even though we didn't do something, maybe we think to ourselves, oh, I did it before. But because I did it before, then we walk around with guilt. We haven't even done it this time, but we just are guilty. We must think we're going to do it again. Of course I've done it. You know, and we don't realize it's in the subconscious. You're not sitting around calculating this. It just sits in the subconscious, and you actually act guilty. And that is why my mom said this. I had 2 older brothers, and maybe they would get in trouble and get spanked. By the time she got to me, I was a puddle, but I hadn't done anything. I was guilty. I felt bad. So we can feel guilty, and we will feel bad. So mercy must be on that as well. And that's why God's compassion on me is very important. Because in my subconscious, I'm also guilty. There's the reality of the spilled milk, and then there's the idea of the spilled milk. And you and I, honestly, sometimes can't decipher the difference. I know this is a little heady, but honestly, this is a very much a part of who we are. We don't always get it right, even about ourselves. We feel guilty. But here's the thing. I don't have to, just like here, when Christ is talking to the Pharisees, I don't need to get it right. I can apply both to myself. Latasha, I will have mercy and not sacrifice it. You spilt milk. Latasha, you don't know why you feel guilty today. Maybe you did something, maybe you didn't. Nothing comes to mind. I will have mercy and not sacrifice to you also, Latasha. Do you understand? It's the same God, whether I feel guilty and I don't even know it, or just feel uneasy. Sometimes I can come running in the church, and sometimes I can kind of drag myself in, and I'm not really sure why. But the same God is up in heaven having mercy and not sacrifice. regardless of whether I have done something or not done something. And he doesn't ask me to figure it out. And I love that. He doesn't ask me. He says, Latasha, I want you to believe that I am the God of all mercy too. That's all you need to believe. Sometimes it takes the songs to get me there. Just singing just somehow releases the atmosphere. And I remember once again the type of God I serve. A loving, compassionate God. One who cleans up behind me. I may have set bombs off today, and yet he has forgiven me because of his son. I may have thought I set bombs off today, and yet he forgives me. And that's why part of this is the more I walk with God, the more this becomes real to me. Because the more I am much more sensitive to that. And I have had this. I have had students come up to me and say, Ms. Brown, you know, I think that I'm like, you're the best student in the class. And they are like confessing nothing. Maybe as parents, you've had the child who the one you know you don't need to pay any attention to at all. You could leave alone and the house or whatever, and they are confessing something. And you're kind of just like, that is a sensitive conscience. That they are aware of guilt. And we can be both or we can not be. Even sometimes I can just be hard and I don't know it. All I'm saying is that the beauty of God concluding everything in unbelief is that whether I'm sensitive to it, whether I'm not sensitive to it, whether I did it, whether I feel like I did it, whether I'm not sure if I did it, whether I'm not, you know, all of these things, I don't need to spend hours in doing that and figuring that out. I don't need to go to confession and try to conjure up and think, I must have something to confess. That's why that is so wrong. That's not what God would have me to do. He would desire to meet me, and the Bible says in the Old Testament there was a place. He said, I am going to only meet the nation of Israel at the mercy seat. So I can walk in there, and we can pray at the mercy seat. I come to God, I can lift my hands tonight at the mercy seat. Did I forgive her when I left her at Home Depot? Was I angry? Was I too angry? Was it just injustice? Like, I don't need all of that. All of that is unimportant here. I come to God and I am at the mercy seat. And I say, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you that your compassion has never changed. Thank you that you've never turned your head away from me, whether I have done it, whether I have not done it. Thank you that you don't ask me to analyze all these things. But I know I need your mercy. And I'll close with this last one. There are two men, and Christ sees them, and they approach the temple. And one man says, I thank you, God, that I have not sinned like others. I thank you that I've done some bad things, but I have not done many bad things today. And the other man, he approaches. He can't even like look up. He cannot even look up. His head is down. He gets near and he says, and he beats his breast and he just says, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Christ, he turns to his disciples and he says, which of these men will go home justified? The second one. He's not analyzing his good and his bad. He's not analyzing his conscience. When the bill comes up to $15,000, he says, okay, he'll pay it. He'll pay it. I can't figure out, I don't remember, maybe I do, I think, did I pick that up? He'll pay it. This man is justified. When I go for mercy, I get instant justification. And I am cleansed instantly in my mind. I need him to be the God of all mercy, and I need to remember it. And when I remember it, it makes me a different person. Because when I'm not guilty, I'm not bitter. When I'm not guilty, I'm not unconsciously irritated. I'm not like, I can't figure it out, something's up. I'm clean. not because he did anything more for me today than he did yesterday, but because I'm aware of a merciful God who forgives all. Does that make sense? Any comments or questions on that?
Yeah. Okay. Get the one part where you said mercy was not extended to God's Son because
if he if Christ is able to be forgiven, if you will, and doesn't pay the payment for my sin, okay, then you and I can't sit here today because the weight of the world sin was on his shoulders. People will not go to hell because of their sin. Not a single person goes to hell because of their sin. It's all been paid for. You only go to hell because you refuse to accept the payment for the sin. I refuse to believe it. It's paid for. Just I won't believe it. Christ did a perfect work. What can you do with a person who rejects it? Go ahead.
Yeah. So, one in our flesh, of course, we can't. It's the first thing that we lose our religion. In your case, I lost my religion. So, just to grace and mercy go hand in hand.
Yeah, when we sense that we're well favored by God, then it's okay. Like in this case, Marcellus doesn't get the full value. Like she doesn't like really get it, because then she walks around and sees Sophie and she might even laugh it off. You know, and seriously, we've done that sometimes. You just kind of laugh it off. You see a little kid, you know, I mean, as an example, my favorite child in this whole area is not in this church. He's actually two doors down, and he won't give me the time of day. So he rides his bike, this black little boy, and he rides and he sees me, and I'm like, hey, how are you? And it is entertaining to me. I love him. When I know he's out there, I run out there, and I'm like, hi. And finally he's riding around, because he can barely ride. He falls down half the time. I can tell the training wheels just came off, and I am like, listen. You can ride around here anytime you want. He won't even look at me. And he's running away his bike, but the next time he rides around. And I saw him again tonight, and as it was coming in. And we can afford that kind of mercy, right? We can afford it. Because I've been just, listen, little kid, I let you ride in here. You look at me when I'm talking to you. I mean, like, you need to be, hey, did your mom ever teach you some manners? I say hi, you say hi. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, but I've seen that. In fact, our neighbors, we got that property right over on Maple Street, and we went to clean it up on Memorial Day that we're going to go do demo day, and the neighbors there are telling me, you better be careful, lock up this place, whatever. They will take everything down. They will destroy this building. Those kids from that school there, they will destroy everything. We tried to take some to court. We had infraction. So I'm listening. This is going on for 20 minutes. You better watch your back and what have you. And I'm like, oh, no, we believe we'll probably win them. We work in the schools. We'll win them. It'll be fine. No, not these kids. And I've had the police after them. And I'm like, wow, what kind of school is that? I'm like, what is the age of these kids? They're like 8 years old. I'm like, excuse me? I just like stop myself. I'm like, excuse me, how old are they? You were trying to take an 8-year-old to jail because he threw rocks at your window. I mean, you give candy to him, he stops that. Like, do you know how to have like a relationship with kids? Like, but here's the thing, he doesn't have anything extra to give in him. So I told him, I said, listen, if these kids become better in this neighborhood, around this neighborhood, because I've seen it before, church moves in, a neighborhood changes. If this happens, will you come and visit our church? Well, I don't know if I'm going to say all that. Well, you're so strong about your opinion. This should be an easy bet for you. So this is our discussion point. around these, but these little 8-year-old demons, apparently. But, you know, I just think it's funny because this kid's about 8. But when you have, like Jane pointed out, when it's grace, when you've got Christ, you've got a lot to give. And I didn't lose anything by giving that, you know. And actually, this lady at the store, okay, as I'm driving here, I'm like, what have I lost? Because actually I stopped at one point and I said, listen, you do what you got to do. You call your people. You call my people. You call my people's people. You do what you got to do. And I think slowly she began getting embarrassed and backpedaled, but it was just, I'm like, I got to go. You know, I'm like, Catherine, can you please finish? And like, because I'm figuring, I'm like, well, can I come tomorrow at 6? I'm like, I'm going to drive all the way back there, 6 o'clock in the morning, come back. I'm like, this is crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And, but, you know, I'm driving, and it's like, I can have this all night if I want, Sasha. I can feed on it if I want to. Or, I didn't even plan to use it as an illustration, but, or it could just be that, you know? And it's like, really, it's like, I've got that to give, you know? And we have a lot to give. But I think we have to tap into it, like she said. You know, little kids are like that. When they, you know, one doesn't think he's getting enough attention, then he will start doing mean things to the other one. You know, a friend of mine, she was a nanny, and if she didn't watch in the bathtub, they would take baths together, the young ones. Like, the other kid would try to drown his brother. And I was like, what? And it was like a real situation. Like, she had to be in there because of jealousy. And the thing is this, we can do that. We have a misunderstanding, but this child needs attention. But I can never I'll never have to worry about God's attention. There's so much I can have. The problem is my attention, not his. I wake up in the morning and I have God's attention. I go to bed at night and I have God's attention. The Bible says he doesn't slumber or sleep. He still is over me, covering me. I still have his attention. And when I tap into that, then the other stuff isn't so important to me. And I can give that mercy. That thing I'm holding on to. I mean, the more you walk with God, it can be, then it's Christian things. This is my ministry, my whatever. But if it's just a part of the big picture, then it's okay. It's all good. Whatever. What do I have that I haven't received? You know? It's all good. I've been forgiven $10,000 today. So, and that's why it's important. But also, I do like the idea that I'd never seen that before. That in chapter 9, chapter 12, when I'm guilty, and even when the idea is that I'm not, that God is still that way to me, so therefore I can be that way to myself. I don't have to figure it out. Isn't that like releasing tonight? Like, in a moment, I can be that way to myself. Because, ladies, God gives mercy, but I have to release the mercy to myself. Did you know that? Like, it isn't just that God gives mercy. It's there for me. But I release it to myself, and I say, I receive that mercy. And I don't beat myself up. That's important. That's what really lets the flow. I don't beat myself up. I say, okay, one has already been beat up for me, and I don't want to spit upon that sacrifice. Thank you, God, for the mercy. I'm not going to spend all day beating myself up. So God gives it. God flows a lot of things, but I can kind of say, nope. But I just let it flow, and I just say, thank you. The unjust, the sinner, he doesn't go around, he's like, just be merciful to me, a sinner. He doesn't sit here and start writing out his sins. He just says, be merciful to me. I need it. I can't sit. Honestly, when I was younger, it would be like, my mom said, so sit at the bed, and I'll pray to God, and you know. But honestly, ask for forgiveness. But if I start, like, I hit Charlie, and then I said that, you know what I mean? You lose count. Just be merciful to me, God. I mean, wake up, And for some reason, I don't know, those days, I feel like saying really early, be merciful to me, God. But thankfully, when I have done something and when I haven't done something, he's so good. He's just merciful. Any other comment or a question? Yeah, good.
Thank you for having me. It's a beautiful truth. I was wondering if you could play out that scene, that example, a little bit more with the teacher,
okay.
Students.
Okay.
Because the one-time extension of mercy, that's great. But the extension of mercy over and over again, the teacher comes in, somebody writes back to her desk again.
Okay.
Next day.
That's really good. Okay, so what is mercy? That really, that's a very good one. And it really means, what is mercy? Is mercy me going in saying, you're forgiven, and therefore, you know what? Don't worry about the ransacked desk. Or is mercy sometimes saying, you're forgiven, clean up the desk? And is it sometimes, you're forgiven, go to the principal's office? Now, I'm going to play it out a little differently. So I get on the phone, I'm in the car on the way to the Bible study. I call up Caroline, I said, Caroline, we have a long-standing relationship with Home Depot. We know managers' names all over. We know corporate in Atlanta, Georgia. Please call corporate tomorrow and deal with that store. They can't do that to people. And that's what I did. And that's mercy. Because you can't just, like, sometimes it is that. Mercy, the real definition of mercy, there's a lot of definitions. But let's put it this way. Mercy is not getting what we deserve, okay? But honestly, we don't know how far the bomb goes. But there is this also about mercy. Mercy, we said patience always has a plan. God's patience always has a plan. And we talked about a severe patient, right? And about how Joseph had to wait 17 years. There's also a severe mercy. But here's the thing, mercy always gives opportunity. That's really the idea of mercy. If mercy will cleans up things for me, it's to give me an opportunity to be different. Now this woman, she never ever admitted wrong to me in the store. Corporate, I know, will. They've donated work. They've sent their people to projects we've had. It's like, this is not their thing. So corporate will, she won't hear it from me. She will hear it from them. They will, however, they will reprimand and say, this is not how we do things. Number one, it helps other people in the future. But also, number two, it gives her an opportunity to be different. Mercy always gives opportunity. So the first time, patience, mercy, many people confuse the two, and we can actually talk about them together, but mercy is in patience. So mercy, the first time, says, don't clean up the desk, I got it. You hope that somebody says, oh my gosh, she didn't even come after us. She could have punished us all, and she didn't. And maybe a student takes that to heart, and they say, that's amazing. Okay? Now it keeps happening. Now the question is, that is what we say, taking that grace as a license to sin. And that's not a good thing, because we're not changing them. In some ways, we would say some of the things that go on around here, people have a sense of entitlement. Now I expect her to forgive me. And this is what forgiveness, and now I'm dictating to the teacher what forgiveness looks like. Now I realize that this person doesn't have a proper understanding. It was opportunity for you to be different. God gave us mercy because it presents opportunity also to be different. And he says, I will be the one to make you different in Philippians 1:6. I will begin a good work. He's so confident in himself that he can make the change in me, that mercy also is an opportunity for me to be able to do that. Does that make sense? It's one thing as a human being to extend mercy, okay? But we hope. God also hopes, but he's confident in himself. Be merciful to me, a sinner. He's not thinking, oh, Christ's not saying, I hope that guy sins like that every day. It's not like that. John chapter 8, prime example. The woman is caught in adultery. She's caught in the act of it. Who is here to condemn you? No man, Lord. He says, neither do I condemn you. Period. End of story. No. It says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Opportunity. I believe that this could so be so life-changing because I bet you no man has ever stood up for you in your life. I bet you no person has ever stood up for you. Isn't it interesting in that story in John 8, this is a woman caught in adultery, that they didn't bring the man to. They brought the woman half-dressed and they presented her like she's a whore. And I bet you, and Christ knew that no man has ever stood up for her. And he says, listen, I give you mercy, but go and sin no more. He knew the power of who he was could change her forever. So the teacher, and that's why, honestly, every time I went in the classroom like that, I have to read the situation. Is this a moment that will change them? Which way? Do they need to go to the principal? Do I need to, maybe mercy says, you know what? I'm going to say you all did it, so I'm going to teach you another principle. That even though some of you were quote unquote right, you will stand with your brothers and sisters, if you will, and all of you will write for me. There's a lot of principles here.
What you said, you make sin forgiveness, but sin has consequences.
Yeah, it does.
So maybe once you forgive them, the criminal does a second time, they continue the sin.
Right. And that's the thing. Sometimes that has to be the case. And that's the thing. Now, I can't know that for everyone here. So that's why I extend mercy. Now, here's the interesting thing. Maybe Sophie doesn't get changed until she sees that I stood up for her and sent her to prison. Now Sophie gets changed and gives her $10, not because of her actions, and not even because she feels guilty, but because she felt someone loved me and stood up for me, and they didn't have to. That's what I'm saying. We can't know all the connections, but we give mercy because, and we can't know. And there are going to be consequences. Yes, absolutely. You did this, is the way it is. Sometimes people want to, and there seems to be, in this day and age, there seems to be a lot of that. Well, you did this so-and-so, or someone does something and they don't want to clean it up. And that's a big mistake, because if I live like that, that's that entitlement spirit, and I don't understand the value. Here's the interesting thing. God also wants to teach me the value of his forgiveness and the value of someone else's forgiveness. I won't know the value of their forgiveness if I keep going, like he says in Matthew 18, how often should I forgive someone? Seven times in a day, basically? He says seven times 70. Well, I may forgive you seven times 70, and that is what I'm supposed to do. But God may inflict some consequences on your behavior, and that is on him. That is on you. But I'm supposed to have a hard attitude of forgiving you, and I forgive you. But I also, in the same chapter, this is interesting, it says, go to your brother alone. Meaning, like, he needs to be made aware of what happened. You know, do you understand? Like somebody's just doing it all over and over again. They need to be made aware of it. Maybe you didn't know that ransacking my desk is not good. So let me explain to you, that's bad behavior. Then maybe you do it again. And I say, okay, I forgive you this time again. That's mercy again. But now I've got to start taking steps. Because I will not be doing what is correct and giving you an opportunity to be different. I am taking away your opportunity to be different, and I'm going to be actually, like imprinting the same behavior pattern in your life. And you will think that that's the way it should always be. I have absolutely seen that with parents cleaning up bad behavior from children, cleaning behind them, so to speak, and children never having to take consequences for actions. And that's bad. They have to see that. They have to know that. Sometimes things happen, and it's important. And sometimes, we sometimes want to stop tears that we're not supposed to stop. They're supposed to be there. They're supposed to be, and actually, she got me a little ahead of myself, but they're supposed to be that, and that's also a mercy. It's not a present, let's say, consequence potentially preventing a future incident. And is that not a mercy? We don't always forget that. We don't always remember that. So yes, this isn't about that there aren't going to be consequences. This isn't about we walk around and like, you know, some the old that this new parenting that came around. I don't know if it's still around, but once you explain it to them, they won't do it anymore. They got an old sin nature. What are you talking about? It doesn't mean, of course they might do it again. They probably will. But this time they'll do it with understanding. Like, now I know I did it. And the Bible talks about that. First time was the, there's this age of, like, the conscience, whatever. Then, there's this law. Like, now I know I'm doing wrong. But God put the law in place so I would know. But then he had to take a step further, and then he brought grace in. But grace came in, grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ, the one who paid for everything. So the consequence of my sin, I live with every day. Do you know what it was? It hung on a cross. I see it as a reminder. That's the consequence. I never want to get rid of that. It cost God his son. If I'm wondering what my sin cost, it cost God his son. Every day, that's why I want to always have refresh myself in the cross, not as condemnation, but as an understanding that my God, he loved me. Christ loved me enough for that to happen. But it cost somebody something. So, so that's a very good question. Mercy doesn't sit around saying, but it does think with God. Like, when I walk, like, I'm at the door, I hear all the noise, I gotta think, how am I gonna, I gotta think this through. Well, this is the third time, Natasha, this year. Like, what kind, sometimes, I do a lot of things. I can't imagine what God's thinking about. A lot of things I'm thinking, okay, we're in momentum. These kids have really come alive. There's been some major changes. So I'm not gonna make a big deal over this, because this could take the heart out of them. Do you understand? Like, we're riding a good momentum. I'm going to let this go. And that's why Christ was saying, like, you need the heart of compassion. It's a thinking through of how should mercy be applied here. There still needs to be forgiveness, but it's the idea of, like, what are my actions? Or, like, you know what? This is it. This is the final straw. I've asked them repeatedly. The classroom next door, it bothers them. It has really affected the teaching there. I've asked them kindly. I've told them the situation. I've given them understanding. Now this is belligerence. They don't care. Okay. Then now they will care, because they will care when I have them write Psalm 119 10 times. Mm-hmm. They will care. Well, I had to do that one there. But I'm just saying, I have to. It needs to be. Because I want this in the same Lamentations 3, it says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. But it also says in the same chapter, why should a living man complain for the punishment of his sins? Meaning, like, it is quite possible. Of course I'm being forgiven or whatever, but it's possible. And in the same chapter it says, my soul, speaking of this I recall, therefore have I hope. But he said, my soul remembers my sins and is humbled within me. Basically, he's saying that, guess what? I remember because of the consequences. I remember. So that mercy gave me an opportunity to remember, so I did not repeat the offense. Does that make sense? Whatever it takes. My mom said I was a little easier because I saw what was happening to my brothers. So I wasn't going to dare to do that. But my middle brother, he could see it all day long. It didn't matter. Back in those days, you spanked, and he got spanked, because that was how he remembered. I remembered by watching him. He remembered by, and God has to figure it out, and he's perfect, what will help me remember, because that is an opportunity for me to be different. You all do it with your children or in your situations, even with friendships. Like, do I say something to him or her about this thing that they just did, this offense? And you have to think about it. I don't want to do it in my emotions. I don't want to do it out of a reaction. But if there's a principle, I have to think about it. Does that make sense? Oh, wow. See? Yeah. Now we're happy. Hi. Free. Free from the prison. Okay. Okay. So we're just getting started on this topic, and next week we'll explore it. But honestly, if I really understand it, it's revolutionary on how I think about myself, how I think toward others, and you know, in fact, God loves it so much. That's why he spoke of David. He said, no one understood my mercy like David. And David was a good sinner. I mean, he sinned really well. But God loved him, and God said, this man, he understands my mercy. So that's why we want to understand it, because he walked with God so closely. Walking with God doesn't make me not a sinner, but it does give me a lot of fellowship with God. Okay? All right. Amen.